The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
I love talking about high-end cars, and we've got a great guest to do that.
What about supercars?
Supercars work for me. Just a couple of days ago, our next guest came back to a company he knows well, having been president and CEO of Automobili. Am I saying it right?
Automobili,
Lamborghini, from 05 to 2016, back in the top spot. So great to have with us Stefan Winkelmann. He is president and CEO of the company, and he's here in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio. He's also president of Bugatti, so you've got a lot under your plate, or on your plate. How are you?
I'm fine. Actually, I have to say that I'm not in Bugatti anymore
since
the beginning of November, so it's 1 month now that I'm dealing only with Lamborghini, so I'm happy about it.
Forgive me, because I was trying to make some sense of some of the changes. And all of this is under Volkswagen, correct?
Yes, it's under the Volkswagen Group, yes.
So tell us about the environment right now. What are you seeing in terms of demand? You know what we're interested in. It seems like consumers are out there shopping, especially wealthier customers. What are you seeing?
So after the first and second wave of COVID, the market in luxury and super sports cars was coming back tremendously. And this year, we will have a record year. And if you buy a Lamborghini today, you will get the delivery only in December 2022. So we have 1 year waiting time. We increased production already twice. But also the super sports car business or the luxury business is not only about delivering fast, it's about not running for the peaks, it's about producing less than demand.
So I mean, people usually wait anyway to some extent, right? Is that fair?
They wait and they're willing to wait. And this is good because there is no other way.
What about when it comes to prices and specifically raw materials? We talk so much about inflation. That is the narrative right now when we look at many parts of the global economy. How are you dealing with higher prices? How high have they become for inputs? And are you passing those along to customers?
But generally, I have to say that we are okay. So we are not passing anything to the customers on higher material costs right now. And we are not suffering like other car manufacturers about the shortage of the chips. So here we are well treated by the Volkswagen Group, being a small company, and this is an advantage. So at time being, there is no, let's say, critical point in this sense for us as Lamborghini.
So no problems at all?
But no problems at all. You never know. We have here and there some, it's always with suppliers and with supply chain that there are things that are not going accordingly and prices rising. But we have not inflated our prices higher than a normal state. So this is not something we are taking advantage of.
Stefan, we were talking, Tim and I, with another global auto executive who's been in the industry a long time, has had different spots around the globe. You too, you were at Fiat. You understand this world. You understand it from several different market vantages. I'm curious, he said to us, it's kind of one of the most exciting times in terms of some of the disruption that's going on, the move towards electrification. There's a lot going on in the industry. How do you kind of sum it up in terms of what's going on right now? And he's got a big smile for everybody on radio.
But I have to say that for us, on one hand, it's a great advantage that the market is booming. So this gives us the peace of mind, at least, I think, for the year 2022, to concentrate on what is coming next. As you said, it's a disruptive time. It's not an evolution anymore. So you have to make a clear cut and to think about what is coming next. We are already on the way to hybridize all our lineup. Hybridize means that you still have an internal combustion engine and the cars will be plug-in hybrid. We will maintain our icon, our engine, which is an icon, the V12. So this will be a complete new engine.
And I know you talked with our Matt Miller, who we always talk about, who loves supercars. And he'll say, well, how can you have a supercar without the engine noise, right? Like, that is such a big component of it.
Yes. And so we will keep it. And all the lineup will be hybridized by the end of 2024. And this is enabling us to reduce the CO2 emissions in comparison of today by at least 50%. So this is a good step to start with.
What comes after 2024, though? Is it full electrification ever?
We see that we will have a fourth model. Today we have three models, so they will all be hybridized. In the second part of the decade, we are looking forward to have our first full electric car. And we want to have, let's say, a split of the lineup, two super sports cars and two more versatile cars. And the super sports cars we want to keep with internal combustion engine as long as possible, maybe with synthetic fuels.
Would Lamborghini ever go fully electric?
Yes, as I said, there is for the more daily usable car like the Urus.
No, I mean like not even offering an internal combustion engine vehicle.
But this is something we have to see after 2030. It depends a lot about what the legislator is going to tell us, how emission goal goes ahead, and if there is an opportunity for synthetic fuel. If there are synthetic fuels in the future which are CO2 neutral, then there is a good opportunity that we stay with the super sports car also after 2030 with internal combustion engines.
Stefan, what do you hear from your clients about? I mean, obviously they're watching the trends in terms of electrifications, and we're seeing sophisticated cars on that front come along or increasingly. But I'm curious, the people who buy your cars, do they really want an electric Lamborghini?
They want the peace of mind of more sustainability. And we have to deliver the promise, and we have to keep the promise that the performance and the design are better than the generation of today. If these two things go together, then for hybridization, there is no issue. They are going to follow us. And we see this also because we do testing, we do clinics, and this is something which is already digested.
So it's done. The horse has left the barn.
We cannot roll back.
Well, the other thing is, let's not forget, and let's be fair. I mean, regulators, policymakers, right? The world, we understand the importance of kind of moving in this direction. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, we cannot move out. We have a social responsibility, even mm-hmm. though with our cars, we are not changing the climate. But I think that everybody has to do his part of the mm-hmm. business. And I think that this is important also because it's more and more important, not what you think about the cars, but what your neighbors think about the cars. So you always have to have the thumbs up.
Yeah.
This is important.
Hey, how do you keep the Lamborghini driving experience with the hybridization of one of these vehicles? Because if you think about a hybrid car right now, I mean, you know when it's there because it slows down at a stop sign, the engine turns off, right? And then starts back up again. And it has a unique sound. How do you keep the driving experience, the Lamborghini driving experience?
Driving experience, so performance will be always our top priority. And when we speak about hybridization, we speak, yes, about range extender, but it's even more about a booster. So it's increasing the power of the engine. The weight-to-power ratio is even better than the one today, so the car will be more performing, and you still will have the sound of the engines you have today. So this is positive, at least for the next years.
You talked about strong demand. Have you been surprised at how strong that demand has been? I think certainly at the beginning of the pandemic, nobody knew how this was going to play out. Nobody had the crystal ball. We hadn't seen this before. I'm curious, though, when did you start to say, okay, wait a minute, things will be okay?
After summer last year, when we recognized that this was a constant flow and it was going up and up and up, every month we are selling more cars than we can deliver. And this is, as we speak, still ongoing.
Do you have the workers you need to do everything? That's another thing that we've certainly seen on a global level. We're certainly seeing it here on a jobs day in the United States, where we have a lot of companies that are looking for workers.
No, we are fine. We are set. It's clear that we are in a phase of change. So competences are going to change, and we are mm-hmm. only also
Good
looking
point.
For new type of business or jobs. And this is not happening overnight. So we have enough time to adapt to the new situation. So this is okay.
How do you bring in that next generation of Lamborghini buyers? How do you bring in millennial customers?
You just drive up to their door. You just drive up to their home, Tim, and
but
you just...
But is there a difference, though? Is there a difference in what potential customers who may be able to afford a Lamborghini in their 20s and 30s want right now, or how you want to reach them now so then when they are in their 40s and can't afford this, they can buy one?
And I think about, we had a conversation with a senior executive at De Beers, and we talked about that a younger generation not so interested in diamonds. So what are you seeing?
More interested in experiences than things, for example.
But yeah. I can tell you that if you look into the social media, we are the highest by far in the super sports car business, or also in the majority of the car business. So there is a lot of interest of the younger generation in our brand. Our brand is cool. Our brand is young. Design and performance are top. They will not sit at our table if we don't speak about sustainability. This is clear.
Right.
They want to have a sustainable car. They want to have a digitalized car. These are the two things which have to work together. And then design and performance, which is, the most important thing in a Lamborghini. These things have to fit.
Yeah, it's. I gotta say, I got a nephew who who's young and would definitely have no problem with one of your cars,
regardless of whether or not it was hybrid version.
Exactly. What do you get? What's the benefits? I think there's some thoughts about. We're seeing a lot of unlocking of value among companies where you spin out certain brands. You're under the Volkswagen brand. There's many, many different brands under the VW umbrella. You know. What's the benefit of being under that umbrella? Are there benefits to also spinning it out and unlocking some value there from an investor perspective?
So a spin out is not planned. What the benefit is clear that there are synergies in terms of suppliers. If we are asking a supplier to produce, I don't know, 10,000 pieces a year or 100,000, you have a different leverage, different price, different quality. This is one thing. Then in terms of the platforms, in terms of all the things which are under the hood, which are not perceived as brand relevant, are things which are helping, like electronic platform, like air conditioning. There are a lot of things which are high investment and nobody knows about that. And we deliver a quality which is in our type of business unique. And this, therefore, the benefit for us is really important.
I just want to ask about the connection between marketing and what you did at Art Basel recently and how you can draw a line from that to selling more vehicles.
But if we do things like Art Basel, it's because the community is very close to our customers. Our customers go there. So having the opportunity to speak to them in an environment which is not typical automotive driven is important to stay present in the mind of the people and also to be part of the crowd. And this is not about selling cars, but this is about creating after the let's say the sales. The most important thing is to create community, to have events to go on and off the racetrack, and also things like Art Basel are important, that you go to dinner together, you get to know them, and you are in the environment they appreciate.
Having been at Art Basel, I can see how it's a perfect fit. Hey, just got about 20 seconds here. Geographically, where do you sell the most Lamborghinis?
In the U.S. Yes. U.S. and China is number two.
China's number two. All right. We're going to leave it on that note. Thank you so much for finding time for us, and have a great, safe holiday season.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate it. Stefan Winkelmann, he is president and CEO of Automobili Lamborghini, joining us right here in our Interactive Brokers studio.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
Last month, Bloomberg was out with a story, it was pretty cool, about how the billionaire economy, well, cool if you're a billionaire, how the billionaire economy is booming with demand for super yachts, mansions, and planes soaring, driven by cheap debt and rising wealth. The number of super yachts sold this year alone, this is at least through mid-October, increased by about 60% to 523 from the same period last year. This is according to some research from Super Yacht Times. More than a quarter of those purchases were for new vessels. How about that, Tim?
Well, people who have the money want to be able to afford, or want to be able to go and yacht and luxury.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, Stephen Myers knows about what's going on. He's the founder and CEO of the multiple listing service provider, Yachtco. He joins us on the phone in Miami. Hey, Stephen, so delighted to have you here with Tim and myself on Bloomberg Business Week on Bloomberg Radio. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm actually literally sitting by the dock of the bay in Miami Beach for Art Basel and surrounded by the Sunset Harbor Marina and a lovely lovely sunny afternoon.
Art Basel is really cool. It's a perfect place to sell super yachts. I'm just going to put that out there.
Nice. It's sunny. It's already dark here in New York.
So listen, I'm a sailor. I've talked with a lot of brokers in the industry over the past year. They have been super, super duper busy during the pandemic. What have you been seeing specifically?
Yeah, I've been in the industry for over 30 years, and we've never seen anything like it. You know, it far surpasses 2007 in the boom there. And, you know, it's a very cyclical industry. However, it's been very solid, and, you know, the trends have just been upwards. The challenge that we now face is inventory. You know, the pre-owned inventory dried up. After 2020, there was a rush on pre-owned inventory in 2020 during COVID. Obviously, people wanted to isolate themselves and lock down themselves on, you know, there's no better place to be than on a boat or a yacht.
And especially during a pandemic, I'm just going to point out, but go ahead.
Absolutely. And that trend is going to continue. The new boat sector in 2021 is absolutely been on fire, as well as the luxury yacht charter business as well. That's now out, pretty much sold out through 2022 you know, continuing on.
What are you seeing from boat makers about how they're able to meet demand or how wait times have changed due to this unprecedented demand?
Yeah, well, I think there's a trend more towards, you know, less customization, more production, obviously, because it's a faster production time. But you know, certainly the custom projects are continuing, and as we get into you know, the $500 million plus yacht market that's coming, you know, that's certainly a long lead time. But right now, most of the semi-custom builders are looking at, you know, sold out for the next 5 years until they find additional capacity.
Well, it really talks about the wealth creation, certainly, too, within our world. What about, Stephen, in terms of their access to the supplies? I mean, a beautiful boat. You're talking about teak. You're talking about great woods. You're talking about a lot of stuff. It's also you know, the bigger you get, it's basically a floating city. Are you guys able to? Are the builders able to get everything that they need?
Yeah, it's a challenge, but I think that the industry is able to meet those challenges. You know, because we're not looking at the volumes of the housing market and so on and so forth. So it's a challenge, but I think that the industry, it's not holding things back to the extent of other industries.
What about when it comes to resales?
The problem there is lack of inventory. Now, people are willing to sell, but, you know, if somebody was willing to sell for $12 million, you know, a year ago, now it might be $14 million. So we've actually seen 59 on our yachtco.com MLS database. We've actually seen 59 price increases just in the past month, which is unheard of. Normally, a price increase in yachting is an anomaly, and it usually doesn't send a good signal to the market. But you know, for the first time in my career, we're seeing, you know, an extraordinary number of price increases on a regular basis.
Tim's really curious about what, Tim?
Yeah, well, how do you find people to work on these boats right now? Because we see a labor shortage happening in many different industries. But if you are one of those people who's lucky enough to get your hands on one of these yachts, how hard is it to get a crew?
Yeah, I mean, the availability is there. You know, the usual channel is to go through a professional crew agency. There's a good pipeline, and you know, the real thing, I guess, the big difference in the yachting industry is that, which I think also attracting a lot of people to, you know, to their boats and to purchase and charter, is the fact of a secure environment where, you know, you can control the environment of the people that you're in. There's defined boundaries, and, you know, making sure that everybody is vaccinated on board, et cetera. So we're seeing people with spouses that aren't even so interested in the boating program that suddenly are now spending the majority of their time on board, and spending less and less time at home and more time on board, and often going to further and further remote locations like the Antarctica and Norway, for example, just far reaching places. But the crew are there. So we're not seeing a major problem in that respect.
Yeah, my next life, I think I just want to be a crew member of a gorgeous yacht and just kind of sail the world. Stephen, hey, sit tight for a second. I know you're there in Miami. We're going to do a little bit of news and we'll come back and talk some more. We are talking with Stephen Myers. He's the founder and CEO of Yachtco.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor, Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.
You are listening to Bloomberg Business Week. Still with us is Stephen Myers, founder and CEO of Yachtco. Still with us on the phone in Miami. All right, Stephen, I've been on your website checking out.
She wants to buy a boat.
No. I'm good. I'm actually really good
now. She's more of the sailing type.
I am. And I was just looking at some of your different boats. You guys, though, actually do have a fair amount of boats listed.
Yes. However, that inventory is definitely down worldwide. At any given time, we typically have over 10,000 central exclusive listings for sale. And at the moment, we're, probably seeing a 40% decrease in actual volume of availability of yachts for sale. So it is significantly down. But I think within the next 12 months, we'll start to see more inventory increasing as the new boat availability comes back on, comes back available and starts cycling again.
I'm looking at this old Chris Craft, man. That is just gorgeous. 1930 Chris Craft, 48, an old Woody. I'm curious who's buying.
We're seeing actually a big increase of new 20 to 30 year olds coming into the market from tech and
really?
Crypto and blockchain. And yeah, so we're seeing that, a lot of them are starting off with chartering. In fact, we're seeing that. And I was going to say that I actually I have a boat here that was in Miami about 7 years ago. And there was a very famous founder of a tech company that I was seeing the roster of the people that chartered, my boat. And it was somebody very famous, which usually in our industry, we kind of try to always respect confidentiality. So I won't mention the name, but it was a household name and I was very surprised.
Rhymes with? No, I'm just kidding.
And anyway, I'm sure he's on to much bigger, better things than my day boat. But it was nice to see, the emergency of a new market that's coming into the industry.
Well, let's talk price range here. In terms of most expensive boats that you have available on Yachtco and also what we perhaps consider entry level, what's the range?
Well, I mean, entry level can be, we have boats that are tenders to yachts, et cetera. So, you could be looking at anything as small as a $10,000 tender all the way up to, we're getting close to the, going over the $500 million range. But, at any given time, for sure, there's $250 million to $350 million vessels for sale. And I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see, within this decade, the first billion-dollar yacht. I think more as particularly as the world is changing with COVID and this, ongoing pandemic, I think, we're definitely seeing people spend more and more time on board, and I think that's going to continue. Most billionaires, their yacht is worth more than their home, and I think that trend's going to continue. And they're seeing more and more value by being on board, enjoying life. I think one of the biggest things that came out of the pandemic was people kind of took a breather and said, you know what, like, life is short and I better get the most of it now and get the most out of it now. And so I think people are spending more time, quality time with family and friends and on board and, you know, exploring the world.
Geographically, what are you seeing in terms of buying trends?
One interesting thing about Europe is it's turning very green. We're seeing, you know, a lot of pressure on builders to go green, you know, lower emissions, hybrid technology with, you know, recycled materials. So we're definitely seeing the trend and also pressure on marinas for more green, you know, more green services. So hopefully that trend will continue worldwide. But, you know, it's starting aggressively in Europe, and I think it's about to expand. I know at Yacht.co we're about to take some initiatives to you know, to push the green trend. We've been running a series on women in yachting, and our next series will move towards you know, green trends in yachting.
It's interesting because I was thinking about, we had an earlier conversation with Stefan Winkelmann, who is the CEO of Lamborghini. And, you know, they're moving towards electrification because they talked about kind of just pressures between, I mean, it's where the world is going. And there's also pressures among your consumers as well. I mean, it's a few years before they're all in on electrification. But that's interesting that you said that. And if anybody sees the environment, is anybody who's out on the water. You really see the impact.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the yachtsmen and yachtswomen, but it's a longstanding term. It's a longstanding term. And I think it's inclusive of yachtsmen and women. But, you know, I think that yachtsmen and yachtswomen are definitely seeing, you know, they appreciate the water and the environment as much, if not more, than anyone. And I'm very impressed with the direction that the industry's going. And we're certainly Yacht.co going to take our role and try to lead, you know, and lead the way and bring more and more people on board with you know, going green and being more environmentally aware and conscious and helping.
Stephen, when we were speaking earlier, you mentioned that this is a cyclical industry and you haven't seen activity since 2007. Or did you say it exceeded 2007?
It's exceeded by far, has surpassed 2007. I mean, so, quote after quote is, you know, from industry veterans who, right, I've known for over 30 years, I've never seen anything like this. It's on fire.
Well, so what derails this? What stops this from continuing?
I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. I mean, the frenzied pace will slow down. But, you know, we've seen, even since the 2008, you know, in the upper end of the market, we've seen growth continue. You know, that trend will continue. I mean, you're with a lot of these yachts, you're looking at 5-year build times. And so, you know, the course is plotting forward. You're seeing, you know, an increase of high net worth around the world. Mm. And, you know, more and more accessibility to yachting in markets like China and Russia and around the world. You know, you're seeing a growth throughout the world, and I think that the trend is going to continue to expand.
Well, this has been a lot of fun and really a wonderful way to end up what's been a bit of a nutty week. So, Stephen, thank you so much.
I wish I could send you a photo from where I'm sitting right now.
No, we wish we could actually be sitting with you.
Yeah. Photo's not going to do us any favors.
Well, come on down to Miami Beach. It's not too late. Art Basel's all weekend, and enjoy the art and the yacht.
We'll come. Right. We'll definitely come find you. Stephen Myers, founder and chief executive officer of Yacht.co, on the phone from a lovely Miami.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum, powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.